Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. This is the text. Theme for the sermon, the title is, He Stooped Down. There is a response to that. And it goes like this. There's a longer and a shorter version. He stooped down in order to raise me up. But over the years and generations, that has shortened to He stooped down to raise me up. So, when you hear the pastor say, He stooped down, then you join in, and all together we say, to raise me up. So that is our theme. He stooped down to raise me up. What exactly does this mean? And you can trace through the life of Jesus over and over and over again the theme running in parallel developments. So back a month and a half ago, we celebrated Christmas. Jesus, born for us, coming down out of heaven into this world to be born, to be one of us. Not only just simply to be born, but born in a stable, laid in a manger. He takes the lower place. And on the mountain of transfiguration, what happens is that Jesus takes that human stuff, that human nature, and he transforms and transfigures it. It's our human nature that he's got a hold of. And he changes and glorifies it. There's a hymn, "A wondrous type, O vision fair, of glory that the church may share." This is our future that we're seeing on the mountain of transfiguration. And so the theme, He stooped down to raise me up. Jesus comes into the world. He walks among us. And that sends us all the way back to Genesis. Chapter 3, where the Lord comes walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And why? To be with Adam and Eve, to spend time, to have fellowship with them. And they've wandered off. They've turned from the Word of God to that other word. God calls out, "Where are you?" And what follows is the long search for his people to bring us back. And in that search, it's the Gospel of John that reports how Jesus coming into this world, it was, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." He comes to walk with us. John reports. He says, "What we saw, what we touched with our hands, what our eyes have seen, this is what we're declaring to you. That God came among us. Came walking among us to be with us." And what amazement there must have been for the disciples realizing that first time they went back into Genesis and saw the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they're saying to themselves, this is what God did. And in anticipation also, at the end of the book, Revelation 21, where finally there's a voice from the throne that says, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will be their God, and they will be with him, and God will dwell with them, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. This is our destiny. He comes into my world to bring me into his world. He stooped down to raise me up. And then next Sunday, you're going to hear about Jesus going out in the wilderness to be tempted. He was tempted for us, and it was a genuine temptation. Being our brother, subject to the weaknesses of our mortal nature. He goes out there, he prays 40 days, 40 nights. The day afterward, he's hungry. And the same one who tempted Adam and Eve comes to him and says, "Doesn't this stone look like it could be bread? You can do it." And what's amazing is the response of Jesus. Just last week, we were going through it in confirmation class, and I'd read a certain amount along, going up to, and then I'd say to Jamie, and then I'd say to Wade, day after day, I'd say, "What three words come next?" Jesus said, "It is written," right? Celebration time. "It is written." And we go along and we read further, and then what four words come next? Again, "It is written." Yeah. And then we go along for the third one, and we come to that point, and I say, "And what four words come next?" Again, "It is written." And see, the amazing thing is Jesus placing himself under the Word of God. The one who speaks the Word of God puts himself under the Word of God. He comes to be with us. Under that Word of God, under the commandments, under the mighty power of God. And when God says, "There's no bread for right now. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." In obedience to that word of God, he comes down and stands with us. So that the word of God is then transformed for you and me. It's transformed. It's not just simply a set of commandments. It is God's blessing. God opening up all of eternity, all of glory, all of heaven to us. And he does that through his word. And that word of God pouring up blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And that's what he does by taking this human nature, standing with us under the word of God to transform us. He stooped down to raise me up. And Jesus, you heard this last week, went out early in the morning while it was still dark and went to a desolate place and prayed. That's as human as you can get, to have to spend time in prayer. But it is Jesus who does this. And what he does in praying is he brings the relationship that he has with his Father, that relationship built around the Word of God, brings that relationship from eternity into this world. And he takes you and makes you part of the family of God, changes you so that it's, well, as Jesus said in the Gospel of John, "No longer have I called you servants, I've called you friends." And he calls us his brothers and sisters. We are part of the family of God. In fact, we have the name of God given to us and put on us. Do you remember when that happened to you? It was with water poured over your head, or were you a bit young? A bit young, yeah. But he does that. And he calls you by the name of the triune God. And you belong. What an amazing thing that is. And in that belonging, see, he brings prayer. And he teaches us to pray. And what are the first two words that he teaches us to use in praying? "Our Father." Those are family words. And he's taken your humanity, and he's brought it into the family of the Trinity. What an amazing thing. And that makes Christianity unique. among all the world religions in the way we look at prayer. Travel the world. Everywhere else you go, a religion calls on you to do something. Develop a spirituality. Do acts of righteousness or acts of devotion before you believe that you have the right to come to God and have your prayers heard. Christianity, God invites. With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that He is our true Father and that we are His true children. That's it. And out of that invitation, we've got prayer. And so we talk to God, not having to do anything to pave the way or to earn the right. Instead, simply because Jesus has made us the children of God, because Jesus has made us pure in the sight of God, because Jesus has made us the redeemed children of God, we have the right to go and say, Father. What an astonishing thing. That's what He has done with our humanity. That's what He has done with us. He stooped down to raise me up. Now we could go on, and we could trace this through time after time again. We could talk about, as the one hymn says, bane and blessing, pain and pleasure, by the cross are sanctified, simple life lived in faith, parenthood, families, friendship, work, rest, every relationship. He completely transforms all that we are by becoming one of us. How He has done this? He went to the cross for us. Truly, He stepped down to raise us up. But remember, it's actually the Gospel of Luke that tells this little detail. Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, what they're talking about with Jesus, it says they're talking about the exodus that He was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. He was going to lead His people out. Lead us out of sin and death. Lead us out of the devil's kingdom. Lead us to life and holiness. Lead us into the kingdom of God. But with every exodus, there would be a Passover and a Passover lamb. There would be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And what Jesus did in order to raise us up is He went to the furthest extreme. He went all the way into my sin, my death, my judgment that I stood under, my separation from God. He went all the way into that. And there at the cross, He stands with me. There at the cross, He takes that lowest place. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in that place, He goes there with the Word of God and its promises, and with faith in that Word of God. He goes into every place where I can feel that I am separated from God, lost and lonely, uncertain of the future and uncertain of my life. He goes there. He goes there with faith, because the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? That comes from a psalm that finishes up. And you're supposed to understand that this is a part of it when Jesus says the first words. Finishes up with Jesus saying, I will proclaim your name in the midst of the great assembly. I will proclaim your name to my brothers. And so anticipating the raising up to glory, and not only of Jesus, but also of us, so that we can be there with Jesus and hear him proclaim the praises of his Father. That's what he does, going into that darkness with perfect faith, so that he can create faith in me, creating it by the Word of God, by that Word of God that promises life and every blessing, bringing all of those to bear in my life in order to lead me home, to his home, to his eternity. Truly, truly, he stooped down to raise me up. And that is why I believe in Jesus. Amen.